You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Noble Purpose. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Noble Purpose, The Joy of Living a Meaningful Life by William Damon. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. The examples above, cooking eggs, making golf putts, driving home through storms, are absorbing but transient experiences that people may engage in from time to time. But can you imagine living your whole life with that kind of focus? All of us have that choice. To live in this way means finding large-scale purposes that concentrate your talents, skills, thoughts, and energies in an enduring manner. It means finding something that you truly believe in, something so worth accomplishing that you dedicate yourself to it wholeheartedly, without qualm or self-interest. It means devoting yourself to a cause, or to many causes, that you consider noble purposes. End quote. That is William Damon from Noble Purpose. Noble purpose. It's all about finding something that you truly believe in, something so worth accomplishing that you dedicate yourself to it wholeheartedly, without qualm or self-interest. Helping us discover and live our noble purpose is, of course, what this book is all about. I was introduced to William Damon and his work via Angela Duckworth's Grit. William is one of the world's leading scientists studying human development and the psychology of morality, which I think is amazing. This is a tiny little book that is incredibly inspiring. It's packed with big ideas, and I'm excited to share a few of my favorites, so let's jump straight in. Little P.S. before we do that, if you haven't checked out Purpose 101 and the other notes on purpose, we've got a link to it in the note. Check it out. First big idea, noble versus heroic. Let's define a noble purpose. Quote, noble does not always mean heroic. If we take heroic to mean pursuing daring, life-endangering adventures, like the mythical knights who fought dragons in days of yore. Noble purpose can mean this, and our history books are full of dramatic accounts of courageous acts that saved the day. But noble purpose also may be found in the day-to-day fabric of ordinary existence. A mother caring for her child, a teacher instructing students, a doctor healing patients, a citizen campaigning for a candidate for the sake of improving society. All are pursuing noble purposes. So too are the legions of people who dedicate time, care, effort, and worldly goods to charity, to their friends and family, to their communities, and to God. End quote. So let's start by making it clear that noble doesn't necessarily mean the heroic idea of mythical knights battling mythical dragons. Those types of courageous acts are awesome and can, of course, be both noble and heroic. But we don't need to go off on that mythical journey to engage in deeply noble purposes. Our day-to-day lives provide all the opportunities we need. Alexandra makes this point in Mamahood 101, I've got a link to that class in the note, where she describes being a mom as holy work, committing a huge chunk of your life to raising a healthy, vibrant, flourishing child is a noble purpose. As Damon says, quote, a noble purpose also may be found in the day-to-day fabric of ordinary existence. A mother caring for her child, a teacher instructing students, a doctor healing patients, a citizen campaigning for a candidate for the sake of improving society. All are pursuing noble purposes. So too are the legions of people who dedicate time, care, effort, and worldly goods to charity, to their friends and family, to their communities, and to God. So, how does it show up for you in your life? Think about that, because it's probably already there. We just need to shine a brighter spotlight on it if it's feeling a little dim. A little by-the-way PS here. William tells us that purpose is scientifically defined like this. Purpose is a stable and generalized intention to accomplish something both meaningful to the self and of consequence to the world beyond the self. Angela Duckworth puts it this way. She says, quote, in my grit lexicon, therefore, purpose means the intention to contribute to the well-being of others. Next big idea, the ultimate purpose formula. Quote, the idea of a calling is an ancient notion with religious roots. Max Weber wrote that a calling is a task set by God. All individuals have their own particular callings, reflecting three realities. One, their own God-given abilities. 2, the world's need for the services their callings provide, and 3, their enjoyment in serving society and God in their own special ways. Much like any noble purpose, a calling is both meaningful to the self and important to the world beyond the self. Christian theologian Frederick Buechner writes, "The kind of work God usually calls you to do is the kind of work, A, that you need most to do, and B, that the world most needs to have done. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." End quote. As I was typing that quote, I said to myself, Buechner, where did we just talk about Buechner? Then I remembered we shared a slight variation of the same wisdom in The Road to Character, where David Brooks tells us, quote, "In this method, you don't ask, what do I want from life? You ask a different set of questions. What does life want from me? What are my circumstances calling me to do?" He continues by saying, "In this scheme of things, we don't create our lives. We are summoned by life. The important answers are not found inside. They are found outside. This perspective begins not within the autonomous self, but with the concrete circumstances in which you happen to be embedded. This perspective begins with an awareness that the world existed long before you and will last long after you, and that, in the brief span of your life, you have been thrown by fate, by history, by chance, by evolution, or by God into a specific place with specific problems and needs. Your job is to figure certain things out. What does this environment need in order to be made whole? What is it that needs repair? What tasks are lying around waiting to be performed? As the novelist Frederick Buechner put it, at what points do my talents and deep gladness meet the world's deep need?" End quote. So, as we've discussed many times, if we want to find our calling, we'd be wise to look at the nexus of 1, our God-given abilities, plus 2, the world's needs, plus 3, our enjoyment in using those skills in service to the world. In short, where 1, what we most love to do, meets 2, what the world most needs. Where is that for you? I've got a little space to write it down in the note. Think about it. I love to do this. This is what the world needs from me. Nexus point of those two elements. For me, I love to read, study, embody wisdom. The world needs more wisdom and less time. Therefore, I'll dedicate my life to helping people optimize. P.S. Remember that any job can become a calling. It's all in how you approach it. In Authentic Happiness, see those notes, Martin Seligman puts it this way: any job can become a calling, and any calling can become a job. A physician who views the work as a job and is simply interested in making a good income does not have a calling, while a garbage collector who sees the work as making the world a cleaner, healthier place could have a calling. End quote. Next big idea, cultivating noble purpose. Quote, how can you cultivate noble purpose in your own life? Where do you find it? And how can you be sure that this is the right way to spend your time and energy? You can start by impressing upon yourself how important it is to pursue a purpose. The case for purpose that I have made in this little book is substantiated by centuries of scientific and religious writings. Dedicating yourself to a noble purpose not only is beneficial to the world that needs your gifts, it is also essential for your own mental and spiritual health. Remind yourself of this well-documented bit of wisdom daily and stay determined to do something about it. End quote. So, how do we cultivate noble purpose in our lives? Step 1 is, as always, starting with remembering why. In this case, knowing that finding and expressing a deep purpose is essential to your own mental and spiritual well-being. From there, William gives us 9 tips on how to cultivate our purpose. Here's a quick look at them. Number 1, it is never too early to begin a life of purpose, and it is never too late. Young ones, now's the time to begin exploring your deepest purpose. Those on the other end of the life experience spectrum, keep in mind this wisdom from Stephen Covey, shared at the end of his life, see the notes on primary greatness, where he was asked the question, you have said that your most important final message is to live life in crescendo. What does that mean? Covey answered, it means that the most important work you will ever do is always ahead of you. It is never behind you. You should always be expanding and deepening your commitment to that work. Retirement is a false concept. You may retire from a job, but never retire from meaningful projects and contributions. Crescendo is a musical term. It means to play music with ever greater energy and volume, with strength and striving. The opposite is diminuendo, which means to lower the volume, to back off, to play it safe, to become passive, to whimper away your life. So live life in crescendo. It's essential to live with that thought. Regardless of what you have or haven't accomplished, you have important contributions to make. Avoid the temptation to keep looking in the rearview mirror at what you have done and instead look ahead with optimism. End quote. Number two way to cultivate your purpose, quote, although purpose is everywhere, it may be most readily found in places that are familiar to you, end quote. So before you go out on that far-off hero's journey to a new land, you may want to pause and check in to see if your deepest, noble purpose is right under your feet. Number three, quote, look around for mentors, purpose exemplars, people who represent models of noble behavior in service of good causes, end quote. So who inspires you? Look around and read up on figures with the noble attributes you aspire to possess. And keep this wisdom from Marcus Aurelius in mind. See the notes on Meditations, where he tells us, quote, because a thing is difficult for you, do not therefore suppose it beyond mortal power. On the contrary, if anything is possible and proper for a man to do, assume that it must fall within your own capacity. Number four, quote, when possible, get support from like-minded individuals, end quote. Reminds me of Angela Duckworth's wisdom from Grit, where she tells us, quote, the bottom line on culture and grit is, if you want to be grittier, find a gritty culture and join it. If you're a leader and you want the people in your organization to be grittier, create a gritty culture, end quote. In fact, Angela tells us that the fastest way to boost your grit is to join a gritty culture. Your natural desire to conform in a healthy way will step up your game immediately. This inspires me to tap into another facet of my purpose to create a community of people passionate about optimizing their lives. More on that soon. Number five way to cultivate your noble purpose, quote, be prepared for occasional disillusionment and resist it mightily. Anyone who harbors a lofty goal inevitably falls short of completely attaining it, end quote. So if we're stretching toward a noble goal, we will, all caps, experience trips and falls. Be prepared for them and get up, dust yourself off, and get back to work. Let's be anti-fragile, confidence 101 style, as we know that we can handle whatever life throws at us and get stronger with each challenge we face. We've got a link in the note to Confidence 101. If you haven't checked that out yet, check it out. Number six, quote, stay humble. When passion for a noble purpose turns into self-righteousness, we lose our capacity to learn from our mistakes or even to notice when we are making mistakes, end quote. Humility. It's virtue number one in pursuit of character plus noble purposes. It's also the number one antidote to vice number one, pride. If we don't have the humility to see where we're falling short, we won't have the clarity needed to optimize so we can actualize. Where are you currently falling short? What simple things can you do to step it up 1%? Number seven way to cultivate your noble purpose, quote, be sure that your purpose stays noble by paying attention not only to the ends that you seek, but also to the means by which you pursue it, end quote. This is an important point William comes back to again and again. To be truly noble, our end or our what must be noble, and our means or our how must be noble. Are yours? Number eight. Quote, celebrate your purpose and be grateful for it, end quote. William tells us that our purpose is a double gift. The world receives the benefit of us giving our gifts to the world, and we receive the gift of a fully charged life of meaning. Celebrate that. Be grateful. It's a true blessing. And finally, the ninth way to cultivate your noble purpose is, quote, pass on your purpose to others, especially to the young. Set up apprenticeships. Get young people engaged in the noble causes that inspire you, end quote. If we want to change the world, we need to get the next generation involved and show them what's possible. Nine ways to cultivate our purpose. What's your favorite, and how can you put it into practice a little more today? Next big idea, sic transit gloria. That's what your advisor is whispering in your ear. Quote, when passion for a noble purpose turns into self-righteousness, we lose our capacity to learn from our mistakes or even to notice when we are making mistakes. We must always be on guard to make sure that the justifiable satisfaction that we earn with a life of purpose does not become pridefulness, which has long been recognized for good reason as a deadly sin. Some would say the most deadly sin. Pride harms us, harms those we are trying to help, and ultimately harms the purpose that we are trying to accomplish. The only way to avoid this constant danger is to keep a healthy perspective on ourselves. Although everything we do in this world matters, and our lives are of great consequence to ourselves and to others, as individuals, we are of limited importance in the larger scheme of things. This applies even to the most exalted people on the planet. In the glory days of the Roman Empire, the emperor was assigned an advisor to sit alongside him in his chariot when he rode along to the lusty cheers of his revering throngs. The advisor would whisper sic transit gloria in the emperor's ear. All glory is fleeting. Often I have wished that someone would supply this special service to each of us daily. End quote. Humility. As discussed, it's virtue number one and the antidote to vice number one of pride. I just love that image of a Roman emperor being reminded of his own microscopically tiny place in the world, and that even his seemingly infinite glory is fleeting. Couldn't we all use such an advisor in times of pride? So, moral of the story, although passion for life and our purpose is wonderful, we want to remember Aristotle's virtuous mean and not get too passionate, lest our passion turns into pridefulness and self-righteousness. A little parenthetical aside here, as a recovering vegangelical, I am well-versed in the practice of being just a little too self-righteous, or perhaps a lot. I try to remember to sprinkle some humility and less dogma into my approach these days. Back to the moral of the story, too little passion, Aristotle would say, is a vice of deficiency or apathy. Too much passion is a vice of excess, which equals pridefulness or self-righteousness. Just the right amount of passion, tempered with humility, that's what we're looking for. The next time we feel a little too much pride and passion, let's remember that Roman advisor whispering in our ears to settle down. All glory is fleeting. Let's be humble. Little PS here, I love Ryan Holiday's take in Ego is the Enemy, where he playfully tells us to forget passion altogether in a chapter aptly titled, Don't Be Passionate. See the notes plus microclass for more. All that leads us to our final big idea. What brings true happiness? Quote, psychologists who study happiness repeatedly discover a puzzling paradox. The happiest people are those who pay little attention to the goal of becoming happy. Many of the things that we strive for in order to become happy seem to have little to do with it. Affluence, for example, is not strongly related to happiness, except in cases of severe deprivation, where more assets are needed to gain basic levels of food, shelter, and family well-being. Status, glory, and other advantages that we avidly seek do not reliably make us any happier than we were before we acquired these treasures. Any boosts in mood that they create usually prove temporary, wearing off soon after the initial glow of self-congratulation. What does matter is engaging in something that you find absorbing, challenging, and compelling. A noble purpose is a prime example of something that brings great personal satisfaction by bringing us outside ourselves into activities that capture our imaginations and promote the causes we believe in. The paradox is that hard and often thankless effort in service of a noble purpose, with little thought of personal gain, is a surer path to happiness than the eager pursuit of happiness for its own sake. Self-indulgence simply does not work. We end up feeling empty and resentful and not at all indulged because we have failed to satisfy our truest and deepest desires, the universal yearning for a life with meaning. End quote. Now, we think that all the shiny things life throws at us will make us happy. The beach body plus huge house plus our faces on the covers of every magazine. But alas, those extrinsic markers of success just don't bring us sustainable happiness. As Viktor Frankl tells us, don't go after happiness. Rather, commit yourself to something bigger than yourself and let happiness come chasing after you. Of course, this is easier said than done in today's Big Me culture, which makes it even more essential for us to go after primary greatness as we walk the road to character and gritty commitment to our noble purposes. With love and gratitude for your support in helping me do my work as we strive together to optimize and actualize and give our gifts most fully to the world. That is a quick look at Noble Purpose by William Damon. I'm excited to cover a couple more of his books soon. William Damon is one of the world's leading scholars of human development. He's a professor of education at Stanford University and the director of the Stanford Center on Adolescence. Before joining Stanford in 1997, he was a professor at Brown University. You can connect with him at williamdamon.com. That's William, D-A-M-O-N.com. If you enjoyed this, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on Courage Under Fire, Man's Search for Meaning, The Road to Character, Grit, The Great Work of Your Life, and Mastery by Robert Greene. This book is packed with unbelievably inspiring quotes on purpose. Check out our site for some of them, and let's have fun looking at a few of my favorites in the sidebar now. Hannah Senesh tells us, "One needs something to believe in, something for which one can have a wholehearted enthusiasm. One needs to feel that one's life has meaning, that one is needed in the world." Thomas Carlyle tells us, "Have a purpose in life and throw yourself into your work with all the strength of mind and muscle as God has given." Martin Luther King Jr. tells us, "Everyone can be great because everyone can serve." Benjamin Disraeli said, "The secret of success is constancy of purpose." Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley says, "Nothing contributes so much to tranquilizing the mind as a steady purpose, a point on which the soul may fix its intellectual eye." Albert Schweitzer tells us, "One thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve." Back to Thomas Carlyle, who tells us, "The man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder, waif, a nothing, a no man. Have a purpose in life, and having it, throw such strength of mind and muscle into your work as God has given you." Aristotle tells us, "Character is that which reveals moral purpose." And finally, Helen Keller tells us, "Many persons have a wrong idea of what constitutes happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose." What is your noble purpose that's worthy of you? Let's identify it. Let's give ourselves to it and enjoy the process. What was your favorite idea in this note? Think about it, reflect on it, write it down, share it with someone if you're feeling inspired. And most importantly, go out and live it. Have another awesome day. Thanks again for your support.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.